You're not alone.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Assault Minds Podcast, an X-Wing podcast dedicated to the backbone of the X-Wing community. That's right, those mediocre players just fall in the middle of the pack, those that keep the game alive and the competitive game interesting. With that said, this is Sailor Joe, and we've got some list breakdowns. Now, as I'm sure you all have come to enjoy, we're not going to talk about top 32 in the list. And in this case, with how this series breaks down, I am not even going to talk about any 4 and 2 lists. I'm going to start with the 3-0 and down, and I'm going to go 32 places, and we're going to take a look at those lists. Now, for those of you listening to the other podcasts, I highly encourage you to go through and do so. Both Gold Squadron and Fly Better have done a breakdown of the top 32 lists. If and when you listen to those, some of these lists are going to sound familiar to you, and that's okay. So, with all that said, we'll get this kicked off, starting at number 50 overall, going 3-3 with Dale Capron, who is flying the Separatist Boba Fett with Palpatine, Thermal Detonators, Contraband Cybernetics, and Hull Upgrade, alongside Zam Wessel with Marksmanship, Auto Blasters, Count Dooku, Thermal Detonators, Contraband Cybernetics, Shield Upgrade, and Slave One Title. Alright, next list we're going to talk about is from Bradley Smith, also going 3-3, with Timon Wexley with Heroic and Integrated S-Foils, with 3 Black Squadron Aces with Heroics and Integrated S-Foils, and 2 of those Black Squadrons with Tracers. Now, pretty interesting list, making use of Timon Wexley to get that free calculate to launch off the Tracers. And if you listen to the other podcast, this is one of those lists that you saw doing a little bit better. So variance or positioning, it's really, really hard to say. All right, going into 52 overall, we've got McMillian Leslie, who is flying another double fire spray list. This one, Zam Wessel with Jamming Bean, Perceptive Copilot, Concussion Bombs, False Transponder Codes, and Hull Upgrade, alongside Jango Fett with Lone Wolf, Jamming Beam, Count Dooku, Concussion Bombs, False Transponder Codes, and Hull Upgrade. The double fire spray list from the Separatists took runner-up for this particular event, Alpha Qualifier from Gold Squadron, if I haven't mentioned it already. So we know that this is a solid list. A little different loadout, but still a solid list. All right, next we've got Manish Fulhaber, I'm sure I pronounced that wrong and I'm sorry, who is flying Imperial Aces with a Naked Duchess, Darth Vader with only Fire Control System, and Whisper with Juke, Fifth Brother, and Stealth Device. You can see in this list that he's definitely got Whisper as his closing ship. And that's an interesting choice. Kind of surprised to see it. But 3 strong ships there. All right, Tim Bordeaux also going 3-3. Flying, this is a scum list, so we've got 3 Skurgs. So we've got Sol Sixa with Ion Cannon Turret, Cad Bane, Skilled Bombardier, Seismic Charges, Thermal Detonators, and Hull Upgrade, alongside a Lock Revenant with Ion Cannon Turret, Veteran Turret Gunner, Thermal Detonators, and Hull Upgrade, and all flanked by Captain Nim with the Ion Cannon Turret, Perceptive Copilot, Veteran Turret Gunner, and Hull Upgrade. So we got some double-tapping Skurgs and lots of bombs. Pretty interesting to see. All right, next in 55th overall, we've got Bruce E, with also going 3-3, with a First Order list, and he was running Scorch with Fanatical, Backdraft with Ion Missiles and Passive Sensors, and 3 Zeta Squadron Survivor, now these are the SFs, with Concussion Missiles and Passive Sensors. So just a pretty efficient First Order list there. All right, next we've got Jason Chung. Flying Rebel List, which is Das Ranger trick with Trick Shot, Bitstin, Perceptive Copilot, Shield Upgrade, Outrider, and Rig Cargo Chute. Flying alongside AP5 with Jen Erso and R4 Astromech. And a Phoenix Squadron A-Wing with Squad Leader. I think we've seen this list before. You've got two I-1 coordinates to dash, and you're basically feeding dash as many actions as you can. And a very powerful list. All right, now we've got Ryan Elliott with going 3 and 3 with another Rebel list. This is Jan Ors with Moldy Crow, Arvel with Predator and Intimidation, and two Rogue Squadron escorts with fire control systems. Now these are the I-4 E-Wings, and that fire control system being clutch as it allows them to get the target lock on turn one and come into their first engagement double modded. And then with Jan pumping one of the two of them up to give them that extra dice. Interesting list to see. Now, in the 58th position overall, we've got Sebastian Demers, also going 3 and 3, flying General Grievous with Solus One, Jango Fett with Count Dooku, Concussion Bombs, Contraband Cybernetics, and Slave One, and a Separatist Interceptor with Independent Calculations and Intercept Booster. So we've got a three-ship list here. Kind of, you're running three kind of sort of independent pieces that you're trying to work together and make work. I'd be curious to see how he flew it, but I could kind of head sim how it's supposed to work. All right, next we've got Nate Hardy also going 3 and 3 with two IMDAR test pilots with passive sim sensors. These are the I-3 Phantoms. We've got a planetary sentinel with seismic charge. This is an I-1 Striker, and then two Scimitar Squadron pilots, which is the I-2 bombers. Both of them with ion missiles, skilled bombardiers, ion bombs, and thermal detonators, and one of them with the thread tracers. So, see lots of generic efficiency from the Imperial. The Galactic Empire. All right. Coming in next, we have Zafar Tijani, also going 3 and 3, running Zam Wessel with Lone Wolf, Jamming Beam, Ion Missiles, Count Dooku, and Contraband Cybernetics. And then 1, 2, 3, 4 Tread Federation drones with energy cell charges and grappling struts. Kind of the hammer and anvil archetype here, where you can go after Zam or you can go after four trade drones with energy shell charges. And whichever one you ignore, the other one is going to pop up and do its best to rip into your flank. All right, I'm going to next, also going 3 and 3, is Chris Hodges. And he was running Kylo Ren with Extreme Maneuvers, Holo, and Lieutenant Tabsin. I mean, Extreme Maneuvers being an incredibly powerful card, especially on Kylo, not surprised to see any of this. And then we've got two other amazing First Order pieces. Just a solid all-rounder. All right, next we've got Kyle Hopkins also going 3 and 3 with Finn Rao. With Fearless, Talbane Cobra, with Fearless, False Transponder Codes, Contraband Cybernetics and Afterburners, and a Tradotian Slaver with Jabba the Hutt and Contraband Cybernetics. So you can see the idea with this is either reloading those False Transponder Codes, which can be incredibly powerful, or the Contraband Cybernetics. Either way, making Talbane Cobra a little bit more of a threat. And putting Jabba on the slaver just means it's harder to burn down. And if you're focusing on the slaver, you're wrong because then you've got two aces that are going to be throwing five dice if they get within range one to just wreck your face. All right. Next, we've got Doug Howe going 3 and 3, And he was running Sunfac with Ensnare, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Trade Federation drones, and then two of those with the Thread Tracers. Again, another Hammer Anvil thing. You've got Sunfac in there to really kind of wreck your day, and these Trade Federation drones that are just there to kind of muck things up and prevent you from getting to Sunfac. All right, Sean Sapone comes in next at 64 overall with a record of 3-3. And he was flying two tubs with plasma torpedoes and landing struts. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Trade Federation drones with grappling struts, two of them with Discord missiles. We've seen this before. Solid list. Not surprised to see it here. All right, Ryan Payne next, going 3-3, running a Rebel list with Wedge Antilles with ion torpedoes and S-foils, Luke Skywalker with S-foils, Thane Kyrell with S-foils, and Jake Farrell. It's been talked about over and over and over again about how powerful Jake is of a tool and how he's almost an auto-include in any Rebel list you're building. All right. Our next pilot also was flying the Rebel Alliance was Brian Bommerspech, who was flying another Dash Rendar list with Perceptive Co-Pilot and Bitsen. And flanking Dash Rendar is K2SO and Magwa Yaro in the U-Wing, both with pivot wings. Pretty interesting list. You have that ability to coordinate in addition to their other pilot talent. And for those that don't know, Magwa Yaro is, hold on one second, let me pull it up. Alright, Magwa Yaro's pilot ability reads, when a friendly ship at range 0 to 2 defends, the attacker cannot reroll more than one attack die. That's a great way to shut down target locks that you'd probably see on Dash. And then you have K2, whose pilot ability is after you gain a stress token, gain one calculate token. All right, moving next, we see a resistance list. And this one went 3-3, flown by Steve Smallenberg. And this is Elo Etsy with Heroic and S-Foils, Nine Numb with Heroic Pattern Analyzer S-Foils, Meryl Cobin with, or Cobin with Intimidation, and a Prockets ZZ Tlo. So again, we got three I-5s backed by Meryl to debuff. Losing possibly two green dice is kind of a big deal when you've got three heavy hitters like that. So interesting list. All right, next we've got Elijah Yoon, who went 3-3, flying a Sense Mace with R2 and Delta 7B. Plo Koon with R2 Delta 7B, and Ricolet with Predator and R2 Astromech. So Regen Republic, kind of a little different mix than what we normally see, but still just a solid squad. All right, next we got John Higginbotham out of the Phoenix Squadron folks, flying Drea Renthal with Dorsal Turret, two Jakun Gunrunners, two of the Z-95, the Binary Pirates, and two Mining Guild Surveyors with Mag Sawball Closure. Now, what that does is, for those that aren't familiar with that card, is after you fully execute a maneuver, if you move through an obstacle or structure or huge ship, or if you deployed, you may choose one enemy ship in your front arc at range 1 to 2. That ship gains one strafe token. Now, the reason this is interesting on the TIE fighters, the Scum TIE fighters, is they are not penalized for flying through obstacles. So you got that kind of synergy built in as a debuff. Then you've got the gun runners, the quad jumpers out there, throwing out tractor tokens, trying to reduce agility, and then you've got Dre modding all of these two die shots. So just a solid list overall. All right, coming in at 70 overall, we've got Tommy Wim, flying Captain Nim with expert handling, ion cannon turret, skilled bombardier, seismic charges, thermal detonators, Havoc, trajectory simulator, and genius. Flown next to Sol Sixa with ion cannon turret, skilled bombardier, proximity mines, and thermal detonators, and Non Lum with proton torpedoes, auto blasters, Zam Wessel, Dengar, and false transponder codes. Now, this Non Lum is incredibly dangerous to see, and I'm also seeing quite a lot of pairings of Captain Nim and Sol Sixa, so, you know, who knew it? Bombs were good. So it just depends on where you're putting them. All right, next we've got Timothy Michael Duke still in, and we're still in our 3 and 3 category, and he was flying Captain Sear with Kalani, Impervium Plating, Solus 1, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Trade Federation Jones. Sear Swarms are good, not surprised to see this. Kalani, they're giving extra locks out each turn in addition to that crack shot-like ability from Captain Sear. So, very interesting to see. All right. Next, we have Oshuk Pote with going 3 and 3 with an Extreme Maneuvers Kylo Ren with proton torpedoes, and then 4 Epsilon Squadron cadets, 2 of them with automated targeting priority. Kylo plus 4, Kylo plus 3, solid list. Good job there. All right, next we've got Joel Springle going 3 and 3 with 1, 2, 3, 4 Cavern Angel Zealot X-Wings with false transponder codes and AP-5 with a shield upgrade. So you've got 5 ships out there, most of them with 3 dice guns, AP-5 with that ability to coordinate whoever needs that extra action, and then false transponder codes for the jam. Solid list. All right, next we get coming in 74th overall, we've got Sean Bowman, who also went 3 and 3, who is flying Darth Vader with fire control system and afterburners, the Grand Inquisitor, and then instead of another ace, 2 of the generic Inquisitors, which is just a platform. So yeah, I like it. All right, at 75th we've got Eric Hagee, also in the 3-3 realm, flying Warthog with Tracers, Wolfpack, and Synchronized Console. Then 1, 2, 3 Red Squadron Bombers with Dorsal Turret, Proton Torpedoes, R4 Astromechs, and Synchronized Consoles. So we've got these Y-Wings coming in. Warthog, and they're focusing. Warthog's trying to shoot his Tracers out there to let everyone get a target lock, and then being able to pass the target lock along if they want. So kind of a little bit of redundancy built into the list, but you can see Eric did a good job with the list going 3 and 3. All right, next we are at 76th overall. We've got Jonathan Veljex flying a Rebel list with Wedge Intelligence with hull upgrade, then a 2 Red Squadron veterans with Intimidation hull upgrade and S-foils, and another Red Squadron veteran with just hull upgrade. So you can see what he was trying to do with the list. Yeah, I mean, I like it. Next, we've got Andrew Goldbach, also going 3 and 3 with the Separatists, with 3 Fearsome Predators with marksmanship and 2 Gakoan Aces with marksmanship, and one of them with Kalani. So basically what you've got is you've got those 3 tri-fighters out there with marksmanship. Everyone's got marksmanship, so they're trying to get that crit damage in. Everyone's got a 3 dice gun. And then you've got Kalani to help get those extra mods that you may not see. So good, solid list. All right. Next, we have Nicholas Brandt, also going 3 and 3, flying Whisper with Juke, Passive Sensors, Fifth Brother, and Afterburners. And then Rear Admiral Shernu with Darth Vader, minister to a proton bombs and hull upgrade. Now, we haven't seen a lot of the Decimator plus Ace list in second edition, but you can see that Nicholas Brandt, definitely going 3-3, did a good job with that. Next, we've got Sean Krasik, flying Darth Vader with Fire Control System Afterburners, Soon Terfare with Predator, and three Academy pilots, another archetype that we've seen in the past and that does well. All right, next we've got Mark Albrechtsen, going 3-3, flying Onyx Squadron 2, Onyx Squadron Aces, which is the I-4 Defenders, with Fifth Brother, with passive sensors, and homing missiles. Jeez, I can speak. But you can see what we got going on here. The Defenders are awesome, are a great platform, and that Fifth Brother passive sensors homing missile combo is good. All right, 81, Robert Sanchez, also known as Bob Tovin, 3-3 with flying Zuckuss with Sam Wessel, Captain Sivar with Snapshot, Pablo with engine upgrade and Moldy Crow, and Nom Lom with auto blasters, Forlom, Dengar, and static discharge vanes. So all very interesting pieces. You can see that he kind of made that scum salad work. All right, and then we're going to finish off this breakdown with Greg Smith, also going 3-3, and he was flying two Techno Union bombers with tracers, proximity mines, landing struts. Two Techno Union bombers with ion missiles, proximity mines, and landing struts, and two Techno Union bombers with proximity mines and landing struts. So just a lot of health to get through, and those tracers and ion missiles can basically mess you up at the front, and the proximity mines to mess you up in the back. All right, so that's our middle 32 lists, as we like to do here on this podcast. And one of the things that I want to talk about, kind of shifting gears a little bit, is we're going to call it humility in the game, and knowing when to recognize where you fall overall in competitive X-Men. Now, if you talk to some of the people in the Outer Rim community and San Diego at large, one of the things they'll tell you is that I'm one of the pilots to look out for in local events. And I don't set to toot my own horn, and you're gonna see why here in a minute. And so I take that to kind of inflate my ego a little bit. And you really got to be careful with that, because it can really ruin your love of the game, because it almost destroyed mine. And what I mean by that is, if you go on Pink Brain Matter, which is just all kinds of data, we've talked about it before, you can actually look yourself up and see where you've done on past events. Now, here's what I'll tell you, right? My past record doesn't look that good. You know, we started off with Games and Stuff Wave 2 Championship, where I took Nia Nam, Lieutenant Bastion, Lulu Lampar, and Tally. And I went 3-3 with the list. Or no, this was 3-5, or 5 rounds, and 11 over 30 overall. So just better than half. At GMI Hyperspace Trial, I went 46 out of the 89, flying Darth Vader with Afterburners, Fire Control System, and Hate, Soon Tirfel with Predator Shield Upgrade, and Merrick Steel with Afterburners, Fire Control System, and Marksmanship. Yeah, as I said, coming in 46 out of 89, three twins. The next is Gameology Hyperspace Trial, which I came in. This is probably my best run ever. 13 out of 46, with a total of 4 wins, and I was running the 5SF Omega Squadron Experts with Advanced Optics and Fanatical. Next, we get to the Fly Better Las Vegas Grand Opening, where I went 3-3. running a Seer Swarm or modified Seer Swarm. But then it kind of goes down from there. And I don't want to get into all my lists because I'm trying to keep the podcast a little bit shorter. But if you look at my next events, we've got the Game Empire Pasadena Store Championship, where I got one total win coming in 19 of 24. We've got the TMK Unofficial TTS Store Championships, where I got two total wins coming in 9 of 21. GSP Space Jam number 3, two total wins, 83rd out of 148. Space Jam Sydney, two total wins, 86 out of 143. Corellia, two total wins, 127 out of 218. Concord Dawn, two total wins, 72 out of 130. Crate, two total wins, 137 out of 285. And finally, Mustafar, well, not Must, finally, Mustafar, two total wins, coming in 83rd over 178. And then with the last one being the Alpha Qualifier with Gold Squadron Flight Club Championship Series, we've got two total wins coming in 97 overall, and that's 97 out of 170 players. So, and here's what I mean by if you don't have the humility to look at where you actually are in the game, not where you think you are, but where you actually are, when you get into these big events and you see where you're actually falling down, it's going to create some problems. You're going to have a hard time looking that, and you're going to get this frustration because you're not going to feel like you're playing to the peak of your ability. And, maybe I'm not. But when the opponents that I did talk to after my games, for the most part, enjoyed the games because they were close, and they weren't sure. There was a lot of back and forth, so they weren't sure if they were going to get it or not. So, and even a few of them mentioned that they thought I was making the right decisions. It just turned out to be a variance thing. And you know what? If that's what it is, if that's all that's holding me back from being a better X-Wing player, then, so be it. I'll keep doing what I'm doing. But I highly doubt that that's the case, and I would be surprised if variance is the only thing holding you back as a wing player. So I want to ask you this question. What do you think is holding you back from being an ex better X-Wing player, and what are you going to do about it? So, on that note, this is Sir Joe signing off.
You're not alone.